Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. If the 20th century was the American century, the 21st century may well be the global century. Globalization spreads wealth across the world, opens new consumer markets, and reorients the dynamics of the American market. It's a different world, but it's a world full of new business opportunities open to anyone with the courage to seize them. Yikes, that's pretty optimistic. Our guest on today's program is Blythe J. McGarvey. She's author of a new book, Shaking the Globe: Courageous Decision-Making in a Changing World. Blythe McGarvey is Chief Executive Officer of Life Group and serves on the boards of, are you ready for this list? Accenture, the Pepsi Bottling Group, the Travelers Companies Incorporated, Viacom, and Wawa. She was a pioneering CFO and in 1995 was one of only 10 female CFOs in the Fortune 500. And we've managed to catch her fresh off a flight from China. Welcome to Edgewise, Blythe.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Dave.
Now, you've been a motivational speaker, a business consultant, and a corporate executive. What is the underlying common denominator that unifies all of these different careers and activities?
I really am lucky that I knew early in life that I wanted to be a CPA, a certified public accountant.
Exactly how early in life?
I was about 14 years old. And some people think, boy, you must have been raised with some strange parents if you knew you wanted to be a CPA. But what I did is I talked to a lot of folks, my friends' parents and my parents' friends. And I said, what do you do? And do you like what you do? And would you recommend your son or daughter to do it? And there were only two professions that kept on coming up over and over again. One was being a doctor and the other one was being a CPA. And I thought, well, I don't really know much about biology, but I'm good with math. I like business. I think I'll be a certified public accountant. Quite frankly, later in life, I realized why that appealed to me. And I'll answer your question directly. What has unified all of my activities is I feel if you have financial understanding of business, you will always have a job, you will be successful, you will create your own demand. And that gives you a whole lot of power in life if you know how to drive business.
If that's true, then how come so many lawyers are running so many corporations right now?
The reason we have lawyers running corporations, and you didn't say successful organizations.
I didn't say that. I thought I would leave that open to you.
A lot of times lawyers come in a regulatory field, such as if you're running a utility company. Sometimes lawyers come in when you have difficulties because you haven't done something right and they need someone who understands how to maneuver in the courts and in the law. Lawyers are very smart and they know how to articulate well. The problem with most finance people and accountants is that many of us can't articulate our thoughts. In fact, I was in business school and people said, Blythe, you can articulate your thoughts. You shouldn't be an accountant. You should go into marketing. You should really try that. I go, listen, I like marketing too, and you need marketing to have the revenues, but I'm more interested in how do you turn revenues into profits and cash.
Obviously, you're a successful businesswoman. How do you assess the evolving role of women in the global workforce, not just North America?
It does matter which country you come from. And I'm blessed to have been born in the United States of America because I've had privileges that other women in other countries have not. You will see people who have never been given A, the education, or B, the belief that they could do something different than what their parents or ancestors had done. Maybe they've been precluded by law. Think of some of those Islamic countries that we're seeing. So as I travel the world and I look at opportunities with women, I'm finding the motivation is there oftentimes to get involved with business, but the societal values may not have progressed as far as in the U.S.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
I'll give you an example of a country that might surprise you. The Netherlands.
Okay.
Rich country, right, in Europe. Wouldn't you think that'd be a great country for a lot of opportunity for women?
Yes.
Well, I worked with a Dutch woman in the French office when I was with Sara Lee, and I said, why are you here instead of being a lawyer in the Netherlands? And she pointed out an important fact. She said, there are less women working per capita in the Netherlands than there are in Turkey. Now, this is 15 years ago. And I said, well, that's fascinating. Why would that be? The reason is the Netherlands has been overrun both in World War I and World War II very quickly, so there was never any emancipation of women in the workplace. If anything, they were eager to get a job for a man in the Netherlands.
Interesting.
So there hasn't been the societal change, even in a country that you would have thought to be influenced by its neighbors, that encouraged women in the workplace to be in positions of power.
In essence, this woman had to leave her country to get the type of job she felt that she could
really
excel at. You go into detail in the book about the belief that globalization can remove discrimination that women face in the workplace. I would take it this is a living and breathing example of that.
It's a great example because think about it. A lot of American men and women don't realize just by leaving the country, they're going to be unique and they can make a huge difference. It's kind of like you think everybody's like you. Oh, yes, everyone has an MBA. Or, oh, yes, everybody wants to own a home someday.
Mm-hmm.
Once you leave your country, you realize you can help women and men, but in this case, we're talking about women, realize their dreams beyond just having a home or just getting an MBA. Some women are just so happy to be working and working hard and many hours. I have to tell you, if we only look through our own lens of our own culture, we're really narrowing our opportunities. So one of my messages in Shaking the Globe is to help people remove their blinders, help people, whether they be Americans or non-Americans, see that if we look at countries and understand our beliefs and our norms and compare them to their beliefs and their norms, all of a sudden opportunities arise.
Absolutely.
It's the old Venn diagram. If you take three circles, my world, your world, and a third is what we all have as motivations, what overlaps is where the sweet pot of honey is.
Hmm.
So I really try and encourage people to find the similarities between different cultures, then find the motivations. And if you can speak the language of business, which I think is finance, it's a universal language, then you can really help not only your own culture and your own self, but also the people you're with really expand.
The subtitle of the book is Courageous Decision-Making in a Changing World. Talk for a second about courage and courageous decision-making.
In my first book, Fit In, Stand Out, I talked about the importance of being a global citizen. And during my talks and seminars around the world, people would say, how do I do that? And I would give them some ideas. And I started testing people. So I have hundreds and hundreds of assessments of what type of leader are you? And I could tell in these assessments if you are a conventional leader or compliant, if you are a challenger, or if you are courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us want to be courageous, high fit in and high stand out.
Right.
There are four qualities you need to be strong in order to be a courageous leader. First and foremost, you don't even get started unless you have competence.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be competent in your
baseline.
Field. Baseline. You need to develop your depth of understanding about your job. That's the beginning. You have to establish that, and that's the baseline.
Of course.
You also need to have a sense of curiosity. That keeps you going. Otherwise, you run into a brick wall, and you just stop there. I always look for someone who has curiosity, the secret sauce that really sets apart a successful, courageous person from others that says, oh, I'll just stay at home. Let other people be courageous about those other cultures.
Oh, yeah.
You stay at home, and you lose out a lot. And quite frankly, you're becoming more and more of an android, and nobody wants to become out of date.
Right, right.
Thirdly, you need to have what I call caring. That means really being interested in other people, really caring. How can you help? How can you make a difference? Being curious is the first step. People can tell if you're just, okay, what's in it for me? I walk into every single meeting and I try and think, what does this person need or what does this person want?
Mm-hmm.
And then I try and listen a little bit and understand where that person is coming from first. Call it empathy. I'm calling it caring because it's got a C, like competence and curiosity.
Okay.
Perseverance is very important. It's one of these things where, and I have stories in my book, you don't become an expert in the global world overnight. And there will be times where you say, it's not worth the price. And that's when you know you're getting close. And it's worth persevering. Think about Tiger Woods.
Sure.
How many times do you think he wanted to quit?
Well, the last major he won, he played on a broken leg.
He is just the example of someone who perseveres through pain.
Right.
In that example, but boredom.
Right.
A lot of people get bored.
Exactly. Shaking the globe. Mm-hmm. First analogy that came to mind was a snow globe.
Uh-huh.
You shake it up and the snow falls. Is there anything we're to read from the title, Shaking the Globe?
You know, it's funny you say about the snow globe, because that was kind of in my mind as I was thinking of the picture. We're living in a flurry of activity, a flurry as you shake
the globe.
Let's
move things around.
Let's move things around. But what I'm saying is that's a good thing. Let's shake things up. And it's good. I actually am positive, and I know I sound very optimistic, but I am positive even in these troubled times, because things are shaking up. Those companies that weren't going to make it, they're going to the wayside. The fluff is gone. Now the companies with true competence will be left standing. So shaking the globe was really about, there's a lot of flurry going on. Old rules don't apply. This is really a good time to start making a difference and shaking things up. Don't do things the way you used to do things.
Let's talk for a second about competence. Obviously, they're the base level competence people in a certain industry or business need to have. But let's talk about the universal manager. If you're an ace manager in one line of business, you can take those skills and be an ace manager in a completely different type of business. Do you think something like that can actually happen?
I don't. There is competence in functional skills, but there's competence in cultural skills. And the whole purpose of Shaking the Globe is to give six major considerations, what I call the six forces or the six stops along the way that you have to make in order to have that competence and adaptability in the cultural world. It's so critical. We all know about that ugly American who, when not understood, starts raising her voice.
Well, how else are you going to be understood?
And it doesn't work that way, folks. It's much more interesting if you really understand different cultures.
Are there any further thoughts or comments on the message you're trying to relay in the book and on our current trouble that we're going through right now, the economic conditions, the recession? Anything you'd like to share?
You know, Dave, when you introduced me and you talked about you can open new consumer markets and really redirect some of the energy that's going on in the global economy. This now, more than ever, is an important time to be an entrepreneur. And I have a chapter in the book called Entrepreneurs from A to Z. I cite several examples from Albania to Zimbabwe. There are people that would shock you how little resources they have, and yet they're willing to take a risk, be courageous.
Of course.
And try something different. So let's say you've just been laid off from your job. One thing I'd encourage you to do is look at your entrepreneurial spirit within and get some ideas, maybe by reading this book or other books, about what are the ideas you've always wanted to see come to fruition. Maybe now's the time to act on them. Because remember, an idea without action is dormant.
Exactly.
And right. You can't be a leader because no one knows to follow you. To be a leader, you have to take action. And so I think during these troubled times, now more than ever, it's really critical to tap into your entrepreneurial spirit.
Many of the guests we have do have a similar type of optimism. And frequently they bring soft skills or soft emphasis into the conversation. A lot of people right now, because of the fear and because of the pressures that they're under, are really sort of squeezing that whole soft skills mm-hmm. thing and saying, I'm being pushed to make money, I'm being pushed to sell, I'm being pushed to maximize the output, whatever. How do you approach the argument, I don't have time for the soft stuff?
I think you always have time for the soft stuff. Even coming into a busy, busy meeting that says, just get down to it, be productive. It's all about relationships. Now more than ever, if you're an entrepreneur, you can't do it alone. You need to work on a collaborative basis. If you work for a large corporation, you can't do it alone. You have to be the one that gets the attention and the resources. So if you call soft stuff building relationships, you have to make the time for that. That's a key priority. Now, that doesn't mean out of 100 minutes, you spend 35 minutes dealing on the soft stuff. But what you do is you establish the rapport in the beginning so you understand the situation. Maybe you're dealing with something, and this happened to me. I came in, I had an agenda I needed to take care of, but I waited for a minute. I said, how are you? How are you doing? And the person started crying and said, my father's dying. And we took a few moments. We talked. I shared, both of my parents are deceased. I could empathize with the person across from me. Now, what if I had just ignored that and gotten right into the business? First of all, we wouldn't have accomplished anything. His mind was on his personal situation, rightfully so. just by taking that moment. That's what business is about. It's about touching others and reaching out.
Exactly.
I'm at the stage in my career that I work not so much for the money, but more to nurture future global leaders. That's what I really enjoy. But even when I was working to climb up the ladder, so to speak, to me, it was more important not how much I made, but how much impact I made. And I still have friends from my very first job at Arthur Andersen, the company that's now defunct, but I still have a friend that I've known for 30 years.
Yep.
And that to me is so much more important than maybe did I get my client work done 5 minutes earlier. We took 5 minutes off and we were working in a retail chain and she said, hey, Blythe, I'll show you how to shop for sale.
Life skill.
Life skill.
Life skill.
Life skill. You know,
exactly.
5 minutes. You have the time to build relationships because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
I just want to remind you that Blythe McGarvey speaks worldwide to audiences on consumer markets, worldwide economic trends, and leadership strategy. Her vision is that business is a positive force for strengthening the global community. She executes her vision with companies and individuals through her speeches, writings, board service, and coaching. You can find out more at www.blythemcgarvey.com. That's BLYTHEMCGARVIE.com. Blythe, thanks so much for being with us on Edgewise today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.